From WBUR Boston, this is special coverage of the 2004 Democratic presidential primaries. I'm Tom Ashbrook, host of On Point, Public Radio's evening news program, and we are watching results tumble in from across the country tonight. Polls closed in the last hour in Ohio, Georgia, and Vermont. There we saw, at this hour, a projected victory for John Kerry in the critical battleground state this November of Ohio. Howard Dean, native son, or at least former governor, in Vermont. Georgia, at this hour, still too close to call, but the word is leaning toward Kerry. We'll follow that throughout the evening. John Kerry. But a very important state for John Edwards that he wanted to carry, that he maybe needed to carry. We're even seeing at this hour on the Associated Press wire, And now on CNN as well, word that John Edwards will drop out of the presidential race. There is a lot going on tonight. The polls have just closed in Massachusetts, in Connecticut, in Maryland, where victories are projected at this point, at this moment, for John Kerry in all three. It may turn out to be a very big night for John Kerry. It may turn out to be the last night for John Edwards. It looks like he may, in fact, speak soon. He is in Atlanta and working his way through a crowd right now of supporters. But it has not been a great night for John Edwards on a night that he needed a great night. We have reports from across the country coming to you tonight. We'll have results the minute they're available. We'll look ahead to the contest shaping up between the Democratic nominee and George Bush, and we welcome your calls. You can hear sounds from John Edwards' headquarters in the background right now. He is standing before his supporters and may speak soon. Here is John Edwards. John Edwards standing in front of his supporters right now.
All of you for being here also. There we go.
Thank you for coming. You know, throughout this campaign, I've talked about building one America that allows every single American to have the opportunity to take advantage of their God-given talent. This is the America that you and I believe in. This is the America you and I will build together. And this is the America we will fight for as Democrats come November. You and I together. I also want to take a moment and congratulate my friend, Senator John Kerry. He's run a strong, powerful campaign. He's been an extraordinary advocate for causes that all of us believe in. More jobs, better health care, a cleaner environment, a safer world. These are the causes of our party. These are the causes of our country, and these are the causes we will prevail on come November, you and I together.
Senator John Kerry in a speech that may culminate, John Edwards in a speech that may culminate in his withdrawal. The wires are now reporting that John Edwards will withdraw from the Democratic primary race. He's being applauded.
And you know, it wasn't very long ago that the pundits and the pollsters were saying that come Super Tuesday, there wouldn't even be anybody named John competing for the nomination. Well, the truth is, John Kerry and John Edwards have both proven those pundits and pollsters wrong, and we're proud of that. You and I did that together.
John Edwards looks on the sunny side, even now.
You know, in the past 2 weeks, while I've been campaigning across this country, I've heard from the American people. And what I've heard is they believe the best is still in front of them. And they know that George Bush has no idea what's going on in their lives. He's out of touch, has no clue what's going on day to day in their lives. And that's the reason, come November, he will be out of the White House, not just out of touch.
Many John Kerry victories stepping up tonight. This may be John Edwards' withdrawal speech.
The American people are also hungry for leadership. leadership that will build one country that works for everybody. And I have seen this over the last 2 weeks. I was at Pomona College in California, where I met with hundreds of young people to talk about an issue that still tugs at the soul of America. 35 million Americans who live in poverty every single day. And all of us together committed to build an America where we say no to kids going to bed hungry, no to kids who don't have the clothes to keep them warm, and no forever to any American working full-time and living in poverty, not in our America, not in the America that you and I will build together. You and I can change that.
John Edwards has made a big campaign issue of poverty, unusual lately, but it may not have taken him to the nomination.
I also met with very good men and women in Youngstown, Ohio, who had lost their jobs, and they are so desperate for a president who understands that a job is about more than a paycheck. It's about dignity. It's about self-respect. It's about men and women who've spent their entire lives working every single day to build a better life for themselves and their family. Well, let me tell you what's going to happen come November. They're going to have a president of the United States who wakes up every single day fighting for them, standing up for them, standing up for their job, who understands their lives.
John Edwards has a captive audience of Americans wondering if he will stay in this race. This may be his withdrawal speech. He's a trial lawyer, and he knows how to work the moment. He's doing it right now, pumping his fist. But for whom? Is he out of the race? We should know soon.
Also, right here in Georgia, in Augusta, I met with leaders from around this state to talk about an issue that's so important to so many of us, the issue of race and living in an America that's still divided by race. And we made a commitment not to follow, but to lead, to have an America where our children and our grandchildren are the first generations that grow up in a country that's no longer divided by race, where we stand up and fight for economic equality, for educational equality, for judges who we know with a certainty will enforce our civil rights laws. This is not an African-American issue, an Hispanic-American issue, an Asian-American issue. This is an American issue, and we will fight for it every single day.
John Edwards projected to have lost in Ohio, still too close to call in Georgia. Kerry leading in Ohio and every other state projected at this
because the
minute.
Truth is, and all of you know it, our campaign has never been about the politics of cynicism. It's about the politics of hope. It's about the politics of what's possible. And I am proud of the fact that you and I together have brought these issues back to the American debate. Race, equality, civil rights, poverty, all these issues that the American people care deeply about. We have touched their souls again. They feel these issues. We have been the little engine that could. And I am proud of what we've done together, you and I.
John Edwards was on Al Gore's vice presidential shortlist in 2000. Much speculation about a place for him with John Kerry. But no word if he's even withdrawing.
And yet. So I thank all of you and everyone across America who has joined in this cause to change America. Because the truth is this, what we believe is we believe we should never look down on anybody. We ought to lift people up. We don't believe in tearing people apart. We believe in bringing them together. What we believe, what I believe, is that the family you're born into and the color of your skin in our America will never control what you're able to do. You and I will build one America that works for every single person in this country, no matter where they live, who their family is, what the color of our skin. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for joining us in this call. It is my honor to be here with you. Thank you.
Well, John Edwards leaving us with a very big mystery at this moment. It's Super Tuesday, and we have results from many states. At this hour, Ohio projected for John Kerry, Vermont for Howard Dean, everything else that's come in so far projected for John Kerry as well. Georgia, with 6% of precincts reporting, has Edwards in the lead by a nose. But the smart money seems to be on John Kerry ultimately pulling out there tonight. We'll have to wait and see. But the news that's being reported is that John Edwards is pulling out of the presidential race, though he did not formally say that in his own words tonight. I'm joined in the studio by On Point News analyst Jack Beatty, senior editor at the Atlantic Monthly. Good to have you here, Jack.
Thank you, Tom.
And right now from Washington by Karen Tumulty, national political correspondent for Time Magazine. Karen Tumulty, help us with John Edwards. Is he in or is he out?
Well, of course, you know, you're not going to give a concession speech when you're standing on stage at something that has been billed as your victory party. However, you know, I think the last time we talked on this program was the night of the South Carolina primary. It was a very different night, a very different kind of speech. That sure sounded to me like a man who is going to be out of this race very, very soon.
What are you hearing from Georgia? That seems to be the key state. All the numbers we're looking at look too close to call, and yet we hear that it may be Kerry's.
In fact, it is beginning to look as though Howard Dean may have a better night tonight, may win more states than John Edwards. It is not looking like a good night at all for John Edwards at this point. Of course, the issue in Georgia, my understanding is that a lot of the rural precincts, which are going to be, you know, where John Edwards runs the strongest, are not yet in. But the fact is, even if he does pull off a victory here in Georgia, it is just not going to be enough to give this campaign the kind of credibility it really needs.
Karen Tumulty, John Edwards just now calling Senator John Kerry an extraordinary advocate for issues we all believe in. Kind words from the North Carolina senator from a potential running mate. There's been some tension between these two as it came down to the wire. If John Edwards is pulling out, how does he stand? Do you see him as a ready running mate for John Kerry?
Well, that is certainly a possibility. I mean, he is somebody that John Kerry is absolutely going to have to look at as a potential running mate. But the fact is that John Kerry does not really need to make this decision until July. And, you know, I think that he is going to take a look at what his options are then, what his needs are then in terms of balance, you know, in terms of strengthening the ticket, in terms of the sorts of issues that you need to emphasize. So certainly, you know, John Edwards is going to be on the very short list, but, you know, and certainly you would assume from the speech that we heard tonight, he certainly sounds like he might be interested, but it's really too early to say which direction John Kerry might go.
And Jack Beatty, here we are at what appears to be a pivotal moment in this Democratic primary season, not spelled out entirely by John Edwards, but the wire is now saying he will withdraw.
A rare political talent. You know, we don't talk about political talent as much as we should. I mean, we've had a series of bland candidates. I've never seen the talent of Mr. Bush in terms of rhetoric or wit or anything. And I certainly didn't see it with Al Gore. This guy has it. A perfect example in Sunday's debate, in the nadir of questioning from Elizabeth Boumiller, who asked a series of fatuous questions. With seconds remaining, she said, President Bush says God is on America's side. Quickly, is God on America's side? And of course, John Kerry said, well, what can you say to that? And you know what Edwards did? He said, that reminds me of a story about Mr. Lincoln during the Civil War. A man came into him and he says, Mr. Lincoln, I'm praying that God is on our side. I feel sure he's on her side. What do you think? He said, and Lincoln said, well, I hope we're on God's side.
That is the place we want to be, Karen Tumulty.
That is political talent.
That is,
you know,
talent.
And in fact, one of John Edwards' strengths as a candidate has been his ability, his willingness, which a lot of people think is sometimes rare in Democrats, to really talk about right and wrong and values and issues. And, you know, that is very much a part of the talent he has as a politician. I think that, you know, this is not going to be the last we hear of John Edwards.
By no means, and maybe a lot more. Even before the November elections, there were words bordering on we in his description of taking the challenge forward. Karen Tumulty, great to have you with us for these few minutes. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much.
Karen Tumulty, national political correspondent for Time Magazine. She joined us from Washington. We are looking tonight at Super Tuesday results from across the country, and they are coming in. 10 states in primaries. Minnesota, I should say, the 10th state in caucuses coming up later tonight. It is looking like a big night for John Kerry. You can join us tonight. Are you ready to see it wrapped up on this night, Super Tuesday? Republicans and Democrats, how do you see the November race shaping up? Is it Kerry Bush? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We'll be right back. This is special coverage of the 2004 Democratic presidential primaries. I'm Tom Ashbrook, host of On Point Public Radio's evening news program, and we are following results from across the country tonight. Big results already in from Ohio, where John Kerry is projected to have won in that key battleground state. It will remain a key battleground state right on through the November 3rd election. We are looking very closely at Georgia, which is teetering between Edwards and Kerry. It appears that it may go to Edwards. And as a result, perhaps of that, and Ohio, Democratic officials are now reported by the Associated Press as saying that John Edwards will step out of the race. A Democratic source said that the first-term North Carolina senator will formally leave the race on Wednesday in Raleigh, North Carolina, his home state. That word of that decision has apparently spread through his supporters in Atlanta as he spoke earlier in this hour. He did not specifically say he would withdraw, but it looks like that's what's coming up. There are many more results coming in at this hour. Polls have closed in Massachusetts, which has called for Kerry. Connecticut called for Kerry. Maryland called for Kerry. Still to come, California, New York, Rhode Island, and Minnesota. Let's get some quick results here from Massachusetts. Audie Cornish, WBUR reporter, is standing by at the Kerry party at Faneuil Hall in downtown Boston. Hello, Audie. What do you see there? What's the word?
Hello, Tom. There's around 150 volunteers and staff people today. They were at polling stations. I know a lot of people assumed Massachusetts was a done deal for the senator being from his home state. But they were still out in full force and put out something like 20,000 phone calls in the last 2 days.
Audie, were the volunteers there watching the Edwards speech? Is the word on the floor there that Edwards has withdrawn? Is that their understanding?
That's how they are like everyone else. I mean, it seems as though he was. They were clapping during his speech, you know, at the point where he talked about Senator Kerry and their candidates. So, you know, no ill will here. I think they see him as being on the way out.
And what about at polling places today? Not a big turnout, I guess. That people were presuming it was Senator Kerry.
People weren't really turning out. I mean, there were low expectations from state election officials. Some of the voters I talked to today said things like, well, it seemed like he's the only game in town. A lot of people thought that he was all that was left, and although, you know, you would think people would have a special affinity for him because he is the state senator, that really wasn't there. A lot of people just felt like he was the guy to beat George Bush, and they stuck with the reasons that more or less a lot of other people have said around the country. It's worth noting, though, that today the official organizers for the Boston 2004 Democratic National Convention came out and had a quick press conference where they were actually praising the front-loaded primary. I guess what's happening tonight is exactly what they were looking for.
That is, seeing it wrapped up. So a low-key...
Seeing it wrapped up quickly. I mean, to them, the fact that the candidate is coming forward now and seems strong, and the fact that George Bush or the president is engaging that candidate is what they wanted. And they want to spend the rest of these few months just bringing it home to Boston.
Audie Cornish, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.
WBUR reporter Audie Cornish at the John Kerry party in downtown Boston, where it's been a low-key day in Massachusetts, but a high-key day, it's turning out for John Kerry nationally. It appears that John Edwards may step out of the race tomorrow. He's just made a speech with that tone to it, and that's the word we're getting from the Associated Press and the Wires. Let's turn to a couple of guests right now. Joining us from Washington, D.C. is Michael Meehan, a senior advisor to John Kerry. Good evening and welcome, Michael Meehan.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
It's terrific to have you with us. And also from Washington, D.C., Charles Black, a senior Republican political strategist. He served as a senior advisor to Presidents Reagan and Bush. He was a public spokesman for President Bush in the 1992 presidential campaign. He served as chief spokesman for the Republican National Committee in 1990. He served on President George W. Bush's 2000 campaign as a volunteer political advisor. Good evening and welcome, Charles Black.
Good evening, Tom. Thank you.
Michael Meehan, first to you. Big doings tonight. John Kerry appears to be doing very well. John Edwards appears to be pulling out. Is that your understanding at this hour?
Yes, it is, actually. I know that the battleground states today in Ohio and Georgia have already been called for Senator Kerry, and we're very thrilled to hear that. I mean, we've won, you know, 90% of all the contests so far, and we feel very thrilled that we're well on our way to winning the nomination.
And Charles Black, what do you see in these results tonight? There's been a lot of attention paid to the Democrats during this winnowing out of a very big primary field. Do you see the Democrats coming forth with a real threat to the incumbent president, George W. Bush?
Well, You know, Tom, I think any credible candidate that the Democrats nominated this year was going to give us a close race. The country is very closely divided, about equally between Democrats and Republicans, and as the Bush campaign has said for a long time, it's likely to be a close race. Senator Kerry ran a great campaign. Michael and Senator Kerry deserve congratulations, but exhibition season is over, and now we'll go to the real thing.
George Bush is sitting on a very big campaign war chest of dollars collected, $145 million plus, headed toward $175 million. We're told he's supposed to pull the trigger on a television ad campaign this week, day after tomorrow, I guess. What's the message that you expect the president to come out with as he begins to let that war chest rumble across the airwaves, Charles Black?
Well, the president is going to talk about the fact that this is a campaign about big issues. Who can keep America secure and who can keep the economic recovery going? We're going to talk about the fact that George Bush has showed steady leadership in a time of change, that he has clear principles and he sticks to them. The next few weeks of the campaign, you'll see positive commercials about the president and what he's done.
What do you make of these last few weeks, Charles Black? We saw the president announcing, you know, the Mars mission didn't make much of an impact. His big interview with Tim Russert was judged by many, including some significant number of Republicans, not to have gone so well. State of the Union wasn't the biggest splash ever. Had to backtrack on job creation numbers. Then there was the ManQ welcoming of jobs going overseas that they had to pull back from some. The poll numbers not looking so great for the president right now. Put this in context for us. How do you see this last month?
Well, I think the context is this, that because the country is closely divided between the parties, we always expected a close race. Our campaign official said that a year ago, that about this time of the game, the Democrat might be ahead of the president. What the Democrats did that was interesting, and to their credit, is they spent the last year attacking the president and not very much attacking each other. Really never laid a glove on each other. Howard Dean laid a glove on himself, but the other candidates didn't do it. So the weight of a year, and especially the last few months with a lot of TV commercials of united Democratic attacks on the president, is the biggest reason that his numbers are down some. There have been a few events that you described that probably didn't inure to our benefit, but there's now a Democratic nominee. There are big issues. We're going to go out and remind people about the president's accomplishments and engage on those big issues. And it'll be a close race, but the president's going to do well.
We've lost Michael Meehan's line. I hope we get him back with us. Charles Black, please stand by. Our news analyst Jack Beatty is with us. Jack, in 1996, Bill Clinton was well ahead of Bob Dole at this point and never gave up that lead. President Reagan, at this point, had a double-digit lead over Walter Mondale in 1984. And, of course, he swept right on through to victory with that. George Bush running neck and neck or even a little bit behind John Kerry in the hypothetical races that had been put out there. How do you read the president's circumstances right now?
The president has got to make a public appearance that is impressive. He has not done that now for some months. He has avoided press conferences. The Russert interview by conservative columnists was a disaster. The State of the Union, he didn't get even a bounce out of that. That's usually always a plus for a president. He's just not been performing well, and I think this is causing anxiety among the Republicans. He's got to somehow get out there and show that he is he is sort of alive mentally. You know, there's a memoir out there of Paul O'Neill's that pictures the president as kind of a nullity, that he sits at these meetings, he doesn't talk, the vice president does all the talking for him and really seems to make all the decisions. Now, that's a very unflattering picture, admittedly, a kiss and tell book and so on. But the president's got to go out and dispel that somehow by showing that he is on top of things, and that this feeling that even Republicans have been reflecting, that he's not on his game, that he's got to get back on his game, because he's against a guy who's a world-class debater. He engaged in 10 debates up here against Bill Weld in 1996.
This is John Kerry.
Bill Weld is a brilliant guy, and first in his class at Harvard Law School. That would never be said of George Bush. Kerry's the war hero. Bush is the National Guard. Kerry is a tough campaigner. This is no Michael Dukakis. Bush has got to be on his game.
Charles Black, how about it? How do you see the nose-to-nose matchup, if that's what's emerging from this Super Tuesday night, of George Bush and this particular candidate, John Kerry?
Well, I agree that John Kerry is a good debater, and that he ran a most impressive race there against Bill Weld, but it must be said that everybody else who served in the Bush administration, and even some Democrats who know the president, have debunked Paul O'Neill's book. He can't find anybody to support the assertions he made in that. And the president did make a speech last Monday night, 8 days ago, to the Republican governors, where he basically started the campaign, talked about these big issues, and drew some differences between himself and the Democrats, which most people thought was a successful speech.
And got a pretty good laugh in response at his jibe at John Kerry for waffling.
Yeah, so I think if he was off his game, he's on it. John Kerry is a good debater, but John Kerry right now is in a race to run from his record. Most of the things he's done, the way he's voted, the things he's been for in the Senate do not fit mainstream American opinion these days. I won't filibuster, but on cutting defense, cutting intelligence, he's voted both ways on the Iraq War. He's been a free trader for 19 years in the Senate. Now he says that was wrong and trade's costing jobs. He's got a challenge here to decide where he really is and whether he's going to stand and defend his record like President Bush will.
We are reading at this moment that President Bush has called John Kerry to congratulate him, I guess, on the presumption that John Edwards is out, that John Kerry will be the nominee. This is kind of like the handshake before the heavyweight match. What about the John Kerry, John Edwards back and forth, Charles Black? Is President Bush better off facing John Kerry than he would have been facing John Edwards? Who does the White House more welcome here as a contender?
Yeah, we have thought for some time, and this is based on considerable study and discussion, that no matter who the Democratic nominee was, be it Dean Edwards, Kerry, or even Dick Gephardt, it was going to be basically the same kind of race. All the Democrats are in basic agreement on these huge issues facing the country, and it's really going to be about the president and his record and where he wants to take the country on these big issues of security, economic recovery, tax cuts, and, you know, they were all pretty much in agreement. Differences in nuance, differences in geography, but I don't think it makes a lot of difference.
We're following Super Tuesday results tonight. You can join us at 1-800-423-8255. Ken is calling from Wahala, South Carolina. Hi, Ken. You're on the air.
Hello. How are you tonight?
We're doing great. Thanks, Ken.
I wanted to address some comments that were made earlier in your show. There was a caller from Brooklyn, and you had the congresswoman from Ohio on at the time.
Yes. The caller from Brooklyn said John Kerry can't win in the South.
Yeah, actually, I did some campaigning for Senator Edwards when we had our primary here in South Carolina, and making numerous phone calls and talking to numerous people. And almost without exception, everyone I spoke to, independents or Democrats, said to them, it didn't really matter who the Democratic nominee was. They had already made their mind up who they were going to vote for. Their big issue wasn't whether the nominee came from the Northeast or came from the Midwest or the South. It was just a simple matter of the economy and the magnitude of lost employment, especially in this region of the country.
Ken, we've got it. Your phone line's a little bit rough, but we've got the gist of your observation there. Charles Black, talk with us about geography for a minute, and states, and maybe even the Electoral College. What states do you think are going to decide this election in November?
Well, first of all, your caller had a good point. Economic times are tough in South Carolina. There's been loss of manufacturing jobs, as there has been in a number of other states, but I think most observers and both parties would tell you that President Bush is pretty solid in the South. There may be a couple of states like Florida or Arkansas that are competitive, but they won't be competitive at the end of October. Bush will carry the South, and I suspect the swing states will come down to most of the states in the Midwest, kind of the usual suspects that we end up with: Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Iowa, Wisconsin, both of which were very close last time. I expect that to be the battleground, although keep an eye on California. It's going to be important to see the results today on Governor Schwarzenegger's referenda. If his initiatives pass out there, it strengthens his hand, and frankly, it strengthens the president's ability to compete in California.
So you see California as potentially in play or at risk enough that the Democratic candidate will have to spend time there, which they traditionally have not had to do much of?
I think common sense tells you that it's in play. In the recall election there last fall, 62% of the voters of California in a huge turnout voted for one of the Republican candidates.
Charles Black, President Bush recently came out in favor of a federal constitutional amendment that would effectively ban same-sex marriage, gay marriage. How do you think that's playing for him? How will it play through the remainder of the year?
You know, it's a new, relatively new issue, and I'm not sure how it's playing politically. I do know that to the president and to a lot of Americans, it's a matter of principle that because of the things that were going on in San Francisco and Massachusetts, he thought it was time to speak out. The Defense of Marriage Act probably will be overthrown by the courts, meaning that other states might be required to recognize those gay marriages in California and Massachusetts. So he wanted to speak out. I think he's attracted a lot of support on it. Now, here again, here's an issue where John Kerry can't quite figure out where he is. He says he's against gay marriage, but he's against a constitutional amendment, a federal constitutional amendment. A couple of years ago, he was against a Massachusetts constitutional amendment on the issue. Now he says he's for a Massachusetts constitutional amendment, but against a federal constitutional amendment. So Kerry here again, running from his record and flopping around on issues, is not going to stand up very well to the steady, principled leadership of George Bush.
And Charles Black, let me ask you one more question. These are both tough campaigners. George Bush showed with John McCain in South Carolina that he could get down and dirty if he needed to. John Kerry will take the gloves off if his record is any indication. The Kerry camp has said that if the Bush campaign attacks John Kerry personally, below the belt, I don't know how to define it, that everything is on the table. What do you think that means? Are we going to get into very personal attacks on character in this campaign?
Nine Democrats have spent the last year making vicious personal attacks on George Bush, so I don't know what they could possibly be talking about. They've called him every name in the book, including a traitor. So unlike the nature of that Democratic campaign based on personal attacks, the president's going to run on the big issues. Who can keep the country secure? Who can keep the economic recovery going? Let's talk about tax cuts, defense, intelligence. Let's talk about trade and whether free trade's good or bad. Let's talk about gay marriage and how important that is to the basic institutions of Western civilization. We're going to stick to those issues. If Kerry will, we'll have a great campaign in this country.
Well, it could be a big one. It will be a big one. Charles Black, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Tom, thank you very much.
Republican political strategist Charles Black. And at this hour, we read President Bush has phoned John Kerry to congratulate him. Looks like he may be the nominee. Lots of results coming in. Republicans and Democrats, how do you see the November race shaping up tonight on Super Tuesday? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. This is live special coverage of the 2004 Democratic presidential primaries. I'm Tom Ashbrook, host of On Point. We'll be right back. This is special coverage of the 2004 presidential primaries, Democratic. I'm Tom Ashbrook, host of On Point, Public Radio's evening news program. We are broadcasting right across the country tonight with results from right across the country tonight. More still to come, but at this hour, it looks so far like it may be a sweep for Senator John Kerry. Senator John Edwards appears to be poised to pull out of the race. That's the word that we are hearing, though it's not official at this hour. You're welcome to join our conversation tonight. How does a Kerry-Bush face-off in November through the rest of this campaign season look to you? And for you, what's the main issue of this year's election? Where does it take your vote? You can join us tonight at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Let's turn right now to Atlanta, Georgia, where Eric Ralston is standing by. He has been covering the Edwards campaign for Time magazine. Big doings in the Edwards campaign tonight. Good evening and welcome, Eric Ralston.
Good evening. Thanks for having me. And at a few minutes after 8 o'clock this evening, John Edwards sort of bounced into the grand ballroom at the Georgia Tech Hotel here in Atlanta. And simultaneous to that, the Associated Press issued a report saying that Edwards would drop out of the presidential race tomorrow. He spoke for several minutes in the ballroom, touching on many of the campaigns and many of the topics in his campaign speech about 35 million Americans who live in poverty, on the war on terrorism, on health care, and other issues that are important to average Americans. And he was... His grin was a little more forced than it usually is, but we'll hear more from him tomorrow.
Eric, what clarity can you bring to us, first of all, on the Georgia results? We're now looking at numbers 30% of precincts reporting, and with 30% in, just under a third, it's Edwards at 46%, John Kerry at 43%. But does John Edwards know something that we don't from these numbers about Georgia?
I think that many of the media outlets begin reporting election results with, 2, 5, 10, 15% of the precincts reporting, and there's a certain threshold after which they can be confident in projecting a winner. But I've heard in the last 10 or 15 minutes different things about Georgia. I think we'll have to wait until we can be confident about the final tally here, which, of course, at this point is academic anyway.
And what about Edwards' status in the race? Does it appear to be confirmed there in Atlanta that he's pulling out? Is this still just the word that's in the air?
They gave it to the Associated Press. So tomorrow he'll make a formal announcement. His remarks tonight were sort of wistful in a way. He didn't speak in the past tense about his campaign, but in English we have the perfect tense, which helps us talk about the immediate past.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of we have done this and we have talked about this and we have been here. So I think that's a good indication of the state of the campaign is it's in the immediate past, even if he hasn't rang the final bell yet.
Eric, what did John Edwards feel he needed out of this Super Tuesday to stay in the race, minimum?
He felt that he needed certainly Georgia and sort of anything beyond that. The states that they were focusing on were Georgia, Ohio, Minnesota, but he felt that he needed Georgia, a southern state. He's from a southern state. And next week on Tuesday, several other southern states will have their primaries. And he was hoping that a strong showing in Georgia would give him a bounce he needed to take him into next week's southern primaries, where he hoped that he might have the momentum to propel him further towards the nomination.
And, Eric, you've watched this man, this candidate, closely. There will be a lot of talk now about John Edwards as a potential vice presidential running mate for John Kerry. What about the chemistry between these two men? New York Times this week reporting that it's not close, that it's perhaps even cool. John Kerry denying that. John Edwards sounding very warm toward Kerry this evening. What's your view?
Well, I think that I read that article. I didn't really know what to make of it. I think that a lot of articles like that are trying to get it, at something very, remote that's hard to pin down.
Yeah.
Look at practically any, president, vice president team, and getting along is not necessarily a key to success. And there's all kinds of stories about how, when they offered the vice presidency to George H.W. Bush, and he and Reagan hadn't seen eye to eye on a lot of issues. So to some extent, that's sort of a gossipy question. I think when it comes down to business, whether, two guys, go fishing together isn't as important as whether they can work well together, if their ideas are compatible, and if the vice president complements in somehow the presidential candidate's skills.
Sounds like you've got your finger on the nitty-gritty reality of how those marriages get made. Eric Rushton, I guess you'll be heading down to Raleigh, North Carolina, for John Edwards' presumed with formal withdrawal tomorrow.
That's what we expect.
Eric Rushton, thanks a lot for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Eric Rushton has been covering the John Edwards campaign for Time Magazine. He joined us from Atlanta, Georgia. And, Jack, it is looking now like a done thing. John Edwards will announce he's pulling out.
It does, and I'm just looking at these Ohio exit polls and looking at them with a view to the fall. Ohio will be the key battleground state, certainly one of them. And what's striking here is Kerry's, the dimensions of Kerry's victory and the breadth of it. Kerry's majorities of men and women, majorities of white men, white women, non-white men, non-white women, majorities of all income groups except for people over $100,000 who voted for Edwards, all ideological and political persuasions except independents who went narrowly for Edwards. But he carries by majorities, every county in the state, every geographic district in the state, and he did well in the east of Ohio in Youngstown. He did well in the center in Columbus. He did well along the lake with Cleveland, Toledo, and he did well way over on the other side of the state in the south with Cincinnati. So this is a broad-based victory for Kerry in Ohio. This has got it's going to get people's attentions at the White House.
Though it is a broad-based victory among Democrats.
Among Democrats.
And watch how those Cincinnati Republicans come out when it's November time. I want to turn to St. Paul, Minnesota. Minnesota will have its caucuses this evening. We're joined from St. Paul right now by Bill Salisbury, political reporter for the St. Paul Pioneer Press. Good evening and welcome, Bill.
Good evening.
Thanks for being with us. Bill, explain to us exactly what Minnesota's doing tonight.
Tonight, Minnesota, the Democrats are having presidential preference ballots going on. It's sort of a mini primary. It's the first time they have done it with binding ballots like this, so they are experiencing a huge turnout at Democratic caucuses. At least anecdotally, that's what we're hearing. I stopped in one of my way here and at a community college, and the classrooms were so crowded that people were standing out in the halls just trying to get in. This is still a competitive race here, although it's over nationally. Edwards has been coming on strong here, and so we're still watching to see how it shapes up between Edwards and Kerry.
Edwards made a notably strong showing in your neighboring Wisconsin. Are these caucuses along the same lines as the Iowa caucuses? Is this church basements and school gymnasiums?
Yeah, it's very similar, and I think what happened was people in Minnesota began to pay attention to Edwards immediately after he did so well in Iowa, better than expected, and then we got to see a lot of him in neighboring Wisconsin. So he came out of that primary in Wisconsin 2 weeks ago with a lot of momentum and made a couple campaign appearances here where he was treated like a big celebrity. He got a great response, and he sort of appealed to the anti-establishment Democrats. The Dean organizers here threw their support to him on Friday and actually put their big phone bank operation. They had the largest campaign at the start of the year here.
And they put it at the service of John Edwards.
Yes, they did.
And what about the word this evening that John Edwards will pull out of the race tomorrow formally in North Carolina? Will that affect the caucuses tonight? Is the voting still going on? Are people likely to fold their Edwards support when they hear that news?
Well, the voting will end here at 9 o'clock your time, 8 our time. Mm-hmm. So it's just about over. But what I found anecdotally in talking to caucus goers tonight was that the biggest motivator in this whole thing is George W. Bush. They just want anybody who can beat Bush. And although there's no bad blood that I could detect between the supporters of John Edwards and those for John Kerry, I think that they will probably be able to unite pretty readily behind the nominee.
And Bill Salisbury, look forward to November for us. Al Gore had a very tight win in Minnesota. There have been a lot of Republicans elected there to office since the year 2000. Is Minnesota generally tilting away from the Democrats? If this is a swing state, what are the swinging forces in Minnesota?
Well, the state has been tilting Republican, and in fact, just a couple hours ago, I was talking to Mark Roscoe, President Bush's campaign chairman, who is here, and he said the reason he was here rather than in New York or California, which are solid Democratic states, is this is one they can win. It's a battleground state. He announced that they will begin their advertising campaign here, starting on their television advertising campaign here, starting on Thursday, as well as in 16 other states. So, we're going to see a much more lively presidential race than we've seen in Minnesota for a long time. Minnesota's voted Democrat in every presidential election since 1972.
But this year could be different, and you, as you say, are going to see a lot of Republican resources poured in there. Bill Salisbury, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Bill Salisbury, political reporter at the St. Paul Pioneer Press in Minnesota, where caucuses are still going on. You can join us tonight at 1-800-423-8255. Danielle is calling from Houston, Texas. Hi, Danielle. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
When Bush was first elected in 2000, there was a lot of discussion about how there's never been a president who's lost the popular vote and gone on to become reelected. Now everyone seems to be talking about this possibility of not only Bush being reelected, but how it may be a close race this year. And I'm curious to know what the expert thinks in terms of what Bush might have done between now and 2000 that all of a sudden, you know, his possibilities of being reelected are so high when he's when history has never shown that someone who's lost a popular vote has gone on to be reelected.
So you didn't like the way George W. Bush took the White House in the first place, and it sounds as though, Danielle, you don't like what he's done since then.
Well, I think my biggest gripe is just that the media really kind of has played him up to be a big contender, and I think it's because he started the war, and I think that's why he's one of the first presidents who's lost a popular vote who actually should have a strong chance of being reelected. But it just bothers me that, you know, we never got to see exactly what changed between 2000 and 2004 that he could defy history like this.
Danielle, you've got a rough phone line there, but we thank you for your call from Houston. Thanks for calling in. Well, Jack Beatty, I'm going to have to roll that one right over your way. You can hear the lingering unhappiness there with the way the 2000 vote and outcome went, and no American likes to see the presidential campaign settled in the Supreme Court, Republican or Democrat, I'm sure. But when George Bush stands up to make his case, we heard some of this from Charlie Black earlier tonight, Danielle's saying, well, how's he going to make his case? Put it in your words. How do you expect the president to make his case?
Well, I think the decisive event between now and 2000 and 2004, obviously, was September 11th, and that transformed Bush. His polling numbers, his numbers now are worse than they were in August of 2001, but not by much. He was going down in every metric, and there were scandals off stage, whether the vice president was meeting with the energy companies,
oil companies.
But September 11th revived him, and he went right up, and for a year pretty much stayed up, and then went down in the sequel to Iraq. He's not really in a tremendously strong position. I mean, it seems to me for an incumbent. And also, Danielle, I actually have done some research on this. It turns out that in America, we don't have a two-term tradition. We have a one-term tradition. Since Andrew Jackson began the era of popular politics in 1828, and leaving out the presidents who were assassinated, 20 of the 31 presidents have had one term.
Those including George Bush Sr.
Yes, that's right.
a legacy which this George W. Bush, would very much like to turn around.
To avoid.
And he has a lot of resources behind him to help him do that, and no small amount of backing. Jack Beatty, thanks for being with us this hour. There's more to come on this Super Tuesday night. We will be following it right on through. This is live special coverage of the 2004 Democratic presidential primaries. I'm Tom Ashbrook, host of On Point from WBUR in Boston. It's a big night for John Kerry. Word is that John Edwards will pull out tomorrow. Thanks for joining us.